How many has walked in here with something heavy on your heart this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Circle up with some folks around you if you don't care. Somebody has lied and told you that you have to have it all together in order to be a Christian. You don't. That's what God is for. If we didn't need God to help us, why did he send his son if we could do it on our own? We can't. We have to have his help. So I want you to pray. Pray for each other. Pray for your pastor. He's not feeling well this morning. Pray for all those that are still out. And we have some traveling and that are still, Tim and Beulah, that are still trying to kick that old bug, which they are. Let's pray. God, we thank you, first of all, for allowing us to come into your house. God, we have some folks that have come in heavy-hearted over situations in their life. And God, some things we just are out of our control. God, but they're not out of your control. God, there are situations that people just flat don't know what to do about. But God, you do. You can guide and give direction. You're the God of the impossible, Lord. If nothing else, this season that we're in shows people, God, that you can take what was dead and bring it back to life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, touch. Oh, God, touch this morning. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, you are able to take what looks impossible and, God, move it and turn it all around. I know you have Easter hams and Easter dinners and such waiting, but let's don't get in a rush. Let's just love on him a little bit more this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's sing it one more time.
Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house this morning? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The last 2 weeks, this scripture has been strong on my heart. I go and I'll read it, look at it, ponder on it, close my Bible up, and go back and look at it again. As I was preparing the message for this day that we are here celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's your opening text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want to read that again. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, we love you today. How we just thank you for your presence that is with us this Sunday morning. God, I just pray that, Lord, that today that you would just speak to every heart that is here in this facility, for those that are watching, for those that will watch later on in the week or later on today, that, God, that you would just speak to hearts. God, we are living in a time where that, Lord, that souls are on the brink of eternity. And God, I pray that today, that Lord, something that I say would just speak to somebody's heart by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God, that if there be those that may be here today or those that are watching or will be watching that are lost and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that God, that this Sunday morning they would make the decision to accept Christ into their heart. And Father, I'm going to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want to minister this morning on the thought for the next few minutes, the meaning of Resurrection Sunday. The meaning of Resurrection Sunday. Now, I'm going to say some stuff this morning, and you have a right to agree or disagree. You may even get your feathers ruffled. That's not my intent. But I believe that we live in a time where there's too much pagan gods that are being worshipped in the church. If you look and see what the devil is doing in the time that we live in, it's a time where that events that we celebrate in the Christian church, such as Christmas, Resurrection Sunday, some call it Easter, that they have made it to be something that is more important than the actual event that we are celebrating. Christmas, now some people are going to call me radical. Some people are going to call me a fanatic. That's all right. I've been called worse. But if you look at Christmas, Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But somewhere over time, the modern world introduced a gentleman into called Santa, who gets more popularity than the birth of Jesus. You said, well, so what's wrong with that? Well, I don't know. Maybe it was simply because one day I was sitting and I was pondering on it. And if you began to look at Santa, you just arranged about two letters, you get Satan. What are you saying today, Pastor? Satan is taking the meaning of Christmas. But then we go ahead and we come up to Resurrection Sunday. Let me first be transparent and say unto you, I got to the place where I realized and recognized what was going on. I celebrated the way that a lot of people celebrate this day. That it's not about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's about Easter eggs, the Easter bunny, and things of that nature. If we begin to look at the word Easter, Easter comes from a pagan god that they served many years ago and really are still serving today. The goddess of fertility, her name was Esther, which comes to the place of Easter. And we look at that today in the time that we are living in, and I'll just be honest, we have a lot of churches that celebrate that. And I remember when I first came here to Morehead Christway, I had people ask me, aren't we going to have Easter egg things going on at the church? My words were this, no. And here's the reason why. You can't say you're going to serve God and worship God on Sunday morning in church if you're having an Easter egg hunt outside in the grass on church property. It's getting quiet. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Greg? I'm talking about too many churches are worshiping a pagan god. And God is saying in this latter days, I need my church not to be worshiping the gods that are pagan gods, but I need my church to be worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I know that doesn't go well with some people. I know that some people may be saying, well, Pastor, you're meddling. Hear me today. God didn't call me to make people to feel good. God has been dealing with me for over a month about bringing out what the world and secular society is creeping into our church world. What other people do, that's them. But I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm not going to serve a pagan god. Joshua put it so clear, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods of this world or are you going to choose Jehovah? He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Jesus Christ is the reason for the Resurrection Sunday. It's not about Easter eggs. It's not about bunny rabbits. It's not about candy. It's about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that in the time that we're living in, that people are allowing the things of the world to creep into their lives as Christians, that is causing them not to have the full life that God wants them to have. There comes a time that we have to get to the place where we said, well, what is the meaning of Resurrection Sunday? What is it all about? Why do we celebrate Resurrection Sunday? Because the world is confused, because the church is confused. And God called the church to be the living example to the world. God called us to preach and to teach and to be, have a testimony of what this day is all about. It's about Him. It's not about a pagan god. It's about Him. So let us look today at Resurrection Sunday. Let us to get to the place that we look at the total picture. The total picture begins with these events in society. Number one, it begins with His entry into society, His birth. You can't have the resurrection. You can't have a crucifixion. You can't have a betrayal if you don't have a birth of a Savior. Years ago, I preached a message entitled, "The Cradle, the Cross, the Crown." And it talked about how that from the very beginning of time, Jesus knew what His full mission was on this earth. Before that He left glory, He knew what His mission was. And He came into this world. The Bible talks about, and we all read it in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2, how that He came as a little babe and was born in a manger because there was no room for Him in the inn. Can I tell us something today? There's a lot of people that doesn't have room for Him in the inn. There's a lot of churches today that doesn't have room for Him in the inn. But friend, let me tell us something. We can't have a life that God wants us to have if we don't have Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life. It is more than just a name. It is more than just a symbol. It is more than just an event that took place, and we just look at it, we read about it, and we just leave it in December until the next December. We can't have the crucifixion if we don't celebrate the birth. So first of all, we look and we read of His entry into earthly society, His birth. Then we go and we begin to look and realize the beginning of His ministry. His ministry didn't begin at the age of 30. His ministry began as a young child. We read in the Word of God where that Mary and Joseph had been in the city with Jesus. I don't know, they may have been shopping. They may have been finding the nicest restaurant they had at that particular time and had a good family time. And Mary and Joseph and Jesus start out, and Mary and Joseph goes on down the road thinking that Jesus was with them, and they turned around and looked, and Jesus wasn't there. They had become so busy that they didn't realize they had walked away from the Savior. How many times, church, have we ever gotten to the place that we have become so busy? In our earthly days, our weekly events, even our church events, that we get so busy that we look around and we wonder, why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel the way that I feel? Why is it that I don't have the peace that I've always had? Could it possibly be that we have become so busy that we walked away from the real person that means so much in our life, and his name is Jesus? We look today and we think about all the events that are going on in the world, and we look at all the events that we plan, and listen to me, I love to have a good time. But more importantly, I want to make sure I'm walking with him. We can get to the place that we are celebrating everything except the real meaning of who we're celebrating. Christmas time, Michelle talked about a little while ago, we get so busy at Christmas time of all the festivities that goes along with that, that we really sometimes get to the place that we forget what it's all about. Resurrection Sunday, we get so busy with planning our dinners for after church and all the festivities that leads up. Even churches get to the place that they become so busy that really they forget about what it's all about. It's about him. And in the ministry, Jesus being left alone, when Mary and Joseph came back, they found Jesus in the temple ministering, teaching to rabbis, to priests that were sitting in an amazement of a 12-year-old that could take the word and present it to them in such a powerful way that people were astonished and amazed and caught up in awe of his ministry. And then we go and we look at the other events that led up to Resurrection Sunday. He went from being a minister in the temple to he began his healing ministry. The ministry of how many times have we read in the Word of God of the man with the withered hand. But yet God touched him and he was healed. The time that he would come upon a little lady with the issue of blood and how that speaking the words to her, daughter, be of good faith, go, you're healed. The man at St. John chapter 5 that laid at the pool of Bethesda, that every time that he would try to get to the where he could get in, when the waters were troubled, somebody else would get there. But Jesus left by speaking to that man, healing, and said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Oh, we read of others, of how that he came upon a man that was blind, and how that he took and spit into the mud and placed it upon his eyes and rebuked the blindness, and he was healed by the power of God. I'm talking about a healing God today. You may be here this morning. You may be watching this morning. You may have been diagnosed with something real terminal, with some terrible disease, but I'm here to tell us today, the God that I'm preaching about is a God that is able to heal every disease that is known and not known to man. I'm not going to steal all of his thunder, because I want him to give the full testimony, but let me say this. Timmy Beulah has been back and forth from Markey Cancer Center. Tim's been diagnosed, well, he was diagnosed with leukemia there towards the end of around December, I believe. They've been doing all the work. And the report that Tim told me the other day came from the doctors themselves and said, As far as we can see, you're in full remission. Oh, somebody give him praise in the house. You're in full remission. We don't see no cancer. That's the type of God that I serve. He's a God that can heal leukemia. He's a God that can heal heart trouble. He's a God that can heal aneurysms. He's the God that is able to straighten out hands and arms. He's a God that can heal leprosy. He's a God that can raise the dead. I'm talking about a God today on Resurrection Sunday that is able to do the impossible, that is according to man that can't be done, but God said it can be done. Now I know how the devil operates. Because there's some people that may be here today or may be watching, and you're saying, well, I've been sick all these years and God hasn't healed me. He will. He'll heal you. Either on this earth or you'll get your eternal healing, but God's going to heal you. You know how many people I pray for and have prayed for in close to 40 years of ministry for healing? Hundreds on hundreds. And I have seen with my own eyes as I laid my hands upon them, according to God's word, He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it's not because of who I am. But it's because of who He is and that He lives here. Don't you know the devil comes to me and tells me, well, if God's such a healer and you preach so much on healing, why are you still sick? And if I dwell on that, I can get real depressed. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Well, God, why are you healing that person and you're not healing me? I have to ask God that. You said, well, should you do that? Why? I'm human. God, why do I pray for people and they're healed, but I pray for my own healing and Lord, I'm not healed. Things that have taken place in my health over the years, some of it I don't even remember, from 2000 and by the end of 2012 up until about 2000, let's see, we're in 2024, some of it up into 2023, I don't remember. There's many of those years I don't remember nothing. Because in 2012, when I had my quadruple bypass, I coded. And it took them a long time to get me going again. And it caused me to have some brain problems. Some of y'all said, my buddy, you had that a long time before you had surgery. And so there's a lot of stuff I don't remember. I have trouble with short-term memory. Long-term memory, I'm pretty decent on. Short term's a different thing. 2 years ago, they diagnosed me in the early stages of Parkinson. I can be walking and just fall. Let me tell you something. I have become a pro in what is called the tuck and roll. This past week, Friday, I came down here to the office. And I had to call Michelle and Aaron and say, y'all got to come get me. I took two falls, one out in the yard and one here inside the church. Shaky. If I dwell on it, I get depressed. And I said, God, why won't you heal me? There have been times I've asked God that, and I've got nothing but silence. But then there's been other times God just gives me one word, trust. Trust. For me to trust Him. You see, I've preached this gospel for close to 40 years. And I'll keep preaching about healing and His healing ministry until the last breath goes out of my body. I've lost count how many people that I've prayed for that was on their deathbed. And I'd pray for them. And here's how I pray. I don't pray for God to take them. I pray for God to heal them. Well, Pastor, why are you praying that if they've been told they're going to die? Because doctors don't have the final say-so. God said, lay hands on them and pray for them. The gift of healing that operates through people began with Jesus in His healing ministry. He's one that today, on Resurrection Sunday, that we can celebrate the healing ministry. Fourthly, if we begin to look at these events, we look how that He went from entering into society, beginning a ministry in His healing ministry, He becomes the role of a servant. We recognize it from what people have labeled as the Last Supper. Jesus sitting in that room with His disciples, one of them would even become the betrayer. But Jesus served them the bread and the wine. But He didn't stop there. He took on the role even more of a servant. Because the Bible said that He went, took off part of His cloak that He was wearing and began to wash the disciples' feet. Back in those days, it was a custom, still is, that when you go into somebody's house, whoever is in that house, owns that house, lives in that house, would get down with a basin of water and would begin to wash the visitor's feet. Jesus began to do that. And we read how that the Lord ministered as the role of a servant to the disciples. You said, so what's so big about that? He was the Son of God. But He took on the role of a servant. So He goes from a role of a servant, then He goes to the role of an intercessor. We read how that He said, come, let's steal away, let's go and pray. And some of the disciples began to pray and they fell asleep, but Jesus, about a stone throw from them, was interceding to the place that He came and He said this to the Father, Father, if there be any other way, if there's any other way, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Let's define what it means to intercede. To intercede is not about you. It's about you praying for other people. Well, I thought you said that He was interceding. He was interceding. He was interceding for the disciples, and He was interceding for all of mankind, that He knew that within a little while He was going to go to a cross and die a horrible death. And as I look at that today, he was interceding for everyone that is in this building today, even though that was over 2,000 years ago, but he was interceding for you. What a Savior. Then we read about how that he was betrayed by Judas. We read about his trial. How that he was brought before the Sanhedrin court, before all the judges. And they said, we can't find anything wrong with him. We can't find anything that he's done wrong. Nevertheless, whatever you want, that's what we'll do. The word started going out. Free Barabbas, crucify him. Found guilty due to peer pressure. Sentenced to death. While a convicted murderer was set free. Brought and put on a cross. Dropped into a deep hole to where when that cross hit the base of that hole, the body literally shook. The cross. You can't have Christianity without the cross. You can't have Christianity without the blood. You can't have Christianity without Calvary. Before there was a resurrection, there was a horrible death. And when I look at the cross today, I think about what it represented. Number one, it represented that Christ was the center of it all. Do you remember how that there was two thieves that was there? But who was in the middle of those two thieves? Jesus. That's what the cross represented. Secondly, it represented that the only way that we can be born again, the only way that you and I can be saved, those that are watching, the only way that you can be saved is by repenting of your sins. I'm amazed of churches today that are allowing things to go on in their church. No, let me rephrase that, in God's church. People that are allowed to occupy ministerial positions that shouldn't, they should be in the altar instead of in the pulpit. When I think about some of the things that goes on, it tells people there's more ways than one to heaven. No, there's not. There's more ways to be saved than one. No, there's not. I don't care what Oprah says. There's only one way, and it's by the way of Jesus Christ. I don't care how many types of religions that comes out and says, well, We're the way. Yeah, you're the way. You're the wrong way. You see, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is simply about worshiping whatever. Christianity is about worshiping a Savior. Anything can be done religiously. Really? Oh, yeah. It goes on all the time. People are worshiping people. People are worshiping homes. People are worshiping cars. People are worshiping their jobs. But when it comes down to it, you know what all that means? They're missing the mark because none of that's going to matter in eternity. What does matter is having a relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son, that said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The cross represents Jesus being the center. It represents repentance. It represents obedience. It represents surrendering all to Him. Word of God says in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, says, pick up your cross and follow me. What are you following today? Who are you following today? Young people, who are you following today? Adults, who are you following today? Well, I've got peer pressures. It doesn't matter. You've got to follow Christ. But I have a hard time. People will make fun of me. But you got to follow Christ. The Bible says, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, what that means, a lot of people says, well, that just simply means that if a preacher has to preach, he just has to be ready at all times. That's not what that means. What it means is that you serve God when it's popular and you serve God when it's not popular. You serve God when everything is going great, but you serve God when everything, it seems like your world's falling apart. Be instant in season, out of season. The Word of God talks about how that we're to pick up our cross and follow Him. And then lastly, it talks about the cross represents service. Can I tell you that when Jesus was on the cross, when He slumped His head and gave up the ghost, but before He cried, it is finished. While they were taking Him down off of the cross, laying Him in a tomb, everybody thought that's the end of the story. But they didn't realize that He was still doing service. Because the Bible says that He went into the inner parts of the earth and He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And friend, God's given us the keys today. I'm saying God's given us the keys. That whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's given us the keys to rebuke the devil. He's given us the keys to speak life. He's given us the keys to lay hands on the sick. God has given us the keys. But with Him in the grave, in a borrowed man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea, on the third day, they came walking towards the tomb. The angel of the Lord spoke to them, says, why seek ye the living among the dead? For He is not here. I want to tell the world today, He's not in a tomb in Israel. I want to tell the world today, He's not hanging on a cross. I want to tell the world today that He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Thank God Almighty, He's alive. Amen. He came back. He ascended to the Father, and today He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's alive forevermore. Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. That's the meaning of Resurrection Sunday. Now we could stop right there and we could say, man, that's awesome. That makes me feel good. Well, let me tell you a little bit more. Give me about a minute. Because the Bible says that one day the trump of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to arise. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this old world. I'm tired of the government. I'm tired of what people are saying the church is when it's not. I'm here to tell us something. He's coming back after His true church. A church that He said that is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He's coming back after a church that is watching and looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Resurrection Sunday 2024, I want to ask you a question. Where do you stand with God? For everyone that is here, for those that are watching, for those that will watch later, what is your relationship with Christ like? Do you even have a relationship with Him? Have you ever asked Him to come into your heart? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, everybody say all unrighteousness. To be saved, you can't hang on to a part of the world and try to serve God. You've got to give God your whole heart. You've got to invite Him in and say, Lord God, be the Lord of my heart. I surrender it all to You. When you surrender it, don't go back and try to pick it up. Leave it there. Leave it there. And allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to You today knowing that, Lord, that I have said some things that maybe some people don't like. But God, You didn't call me to preach things that will make everybody feel good. Sometimes, Lord, You instruct Your ministers to preach touchy parts of messages. And I have done that today, and I don't apologize to anybody for it. God, You called me to preach Your word and to tell people there is a world to put away and there is a Lord by the name of Jesus to accept and to follow totally. I pray today. But God, if there be one young person, if there be an adult that is in this building today, if there be someone that is watching that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would just simply cry out and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe He rose again. And today I want to accept Him as my Lord and my Savior. I want to surrender everything in my life about me, and I want to just to serve Him. God, for that one that is serving You, but Lord, they're struggling. The things of the world is creeping in, is trying to distract them. It's trying to cause them to lose their first love. But God, let people realize today, jobs, money, homes, cars are not more important than a personal relationship of being sold out to Christ. For one day, God, Your word said that the trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to arise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. God, I know this Sunday morning, March the 31st, 2024, that we are so close to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, I never want to stand before You and hear You say, I called You to preach, and You didn't preach. You didn't warn the people. But God, I want to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. But until then, I'm going to preach. I'm going to testify. I'm going to sing about my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And try to take as many people to heaven as I can. God, I've done my part in this message. I've done what You have instructed me to do. I have preached from my heart. And now, Lord, if there be anybody that is here or watching that does not know Jesus, I pray today they will surrender to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and the church is praying for every adult, for every young person, for every regular attender, for guests that are here today. If you're here and you can say, I do not know if I'm ready to go to heaven. With this hand lifted up, Pastor Greg, remember me, that I would make things right with God. If that's you, just raise up that hand. Young person, adults, anyone. Anyone. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. Now is the time. Father, as I stretch my hands out over this congregation, help us to get a Holy Ghost boldness to go out and to spread the word about Jesus Christ. Let us tell people what Jesus has done for us as individuals. Let us tell people what Jesus has done for our families. Let us tell people what Jesus has done for all of mankind. Let us tell people that He is alive, that He is alive, and He's coming back soon. Father, we thank You for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we continue to worship You with our giving today, I pray today that, Lord, that You would bless the giver, that You would bless these gifts that are brought to You this Sunday morning, that, Father, that, Lord, that You would help us to finish the mission of what You have instructed every one of us to do. Tell people about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Bring the tithe and your love gift unto the Lord this Sunday morning.